You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Well, welcome again today to our Westside Church. Really happy to be here. I do want to welcome a dear couple that had been a part of the Westside really since the beginning of the whole LA church. They've since retired and they've moved around and living closer to their grandkids in two different places. But let's welcome Keith and Marianne Rose visiting us today. Love you guys. Been a big part of the Westside in LA for so many years. So today the title of the lesson is God is Love. And He is. Now He's more than love. He's power. He's wisdom. He's all-knowing. But the greatest way we can connect and live into a relationship with Him is to understand Him through love. God is love. Amen. And we've been going through the writings of the Apostle John, the book of John. We completed that. And we've been going through the book of 1 John. So I hope you've been reading it, maybe in your Bible app. We've had a reading schedule there. But I want us to all turn right now to the passage on the screen, 1 John chapter 4, because we believe in the Word of God. We understand it is the Word of God that changes us. Amen. It's His Word that gives us a foundation. So I'm not going to have it on the screen, but I want to read the passage to just set the tone for today. And I know a lot of you have your hard copy Bibles, and I commend you for that. I do read the digital Bible frequently, and I'm going to read from the NIV, though some of the passages in today's sermon, we've got different versions in there, but I'm going to read right now. If you would read along with me from 1 John chapter 4, we're going to read this text together and then have a prayer and delve into the content for today. It says in verse 1, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in Him, and He in us. He has given us of His Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Amen. The Word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord, we understand that You are love. We want to understand You. We want to embody your love in our own lives. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how it inspires. Father, I pray that you would open our minds and hearts, that you would speak through us today on this special celebration of the harvest time, which we know you care about souls, the harvest of souls. Father, I pray you speak now, that you touch us, that you help us, that you strengthen us. We pray for your blessing at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 4, amazing passage. We're not going to be able to get to all of it. It's too much. But I know the Holy Spirit works. Just reading it, something can touch you. Last week, I went with my wife to a dinner at Pepperdine. They had invited a number of the speakers who had been at one of their lectureships, which they have every May, to come. And Jeff Walling, who's a great friend of our church, who was helping host it, invited my wife and I. So we went on up to this dinner up at Pepperdine. And we weren't sure what to expect. I wasn't sure if any other ministers I knew would be there. But I thought I wanted to go. I certainly appreciate the administration at Pepperdine and how much they take care of our Pepperdine students. Give it up for our Pepperdine students. Awesome to have them. And how they of course, approve. We have a club, a campus ministry club that is approved at the campus. And, you know, I really want to make sure they understand our appreciation. So we went up to the dinner. And right when we walked into the reception area, I saw a couple, a ministry couple that I had known for many years, but I hadn't seen them in about 20 years. Wow. And this ministry couple actually had a ministry in our old church in the Inland Empire, and they felt a lot of things about the ministry and ended up taking their church and splitting it off from our church. And if any of you have been through anything like that in a church, or in a family, it's very, very painful. Needless to say, he clearly is my brother in Christ when I saw him, right? Because he's a disciple, I know that. But in my heart, I knew there was division. We hadn't talked in 20 years. But now the reality is it has been 20 years and we're both much, much older. And I realized Jesus is all about forgiveness. Here we are with all ministers at this time. There needs to be forgiveness. So I walked right up to him to shake his hand and say, hey, it's been a long time, and give him a little hug. But he kind of gave me that kind of push away. He didn't really want to hug me. So I could tell he was feeling stuff too, right? Because it had been 20 years. They had split. He was upset with some things that I had done, and I was upset with some things he had done. So I saw him go over to get a little iced tea. So I walked over to get the iced tea, and I said, listen, I know it's been 20 years, but for whatever I have done that you have felt pain from, and whatever pain I have felt, I want you to know, I want there to be unity and forgiveness. Amen. This scripture haunts me when I think about relations like that. This scripture would pop in my mind. How can I say I love God if of a person I know as a disciple, I have this anger toward and haven't done the full part that I could? So you know what? He goes, I have been feeling things, but you're right. The scriptures do teach we need to forgive. I said, well, what have you been feeling? And right there, drinking our iced tea, overlooking the beautiful Pacific Ocean up at Pepperdine, we had an incredible conversation. Amen. The things that had hurt him, the things that had hurt me. And we said, listen, as far as it depends on me, I want to make peace. I am so sorry. I want there to be unity. And he said, I'm the same. And we gave a huge hug and healed. In my belief, we healed. Really, the reality is their church has not met together with our church in a long time. But I believe we need to not be judgmental. We don't need to hold on to this kind of stuff, but we need to forgive. Time does heal. The Word of God does heal. How can we live in love if we don't really love our brothers and sisters? Amen? So it was awesome to have that time. My wife and his wife, they were having a great talk. They probably were, you know, they were doing fine. And they, I'm sure, didn't have near the things that I had felt and that he had felt. But God was working, amen? Working now in our generation. Because as we grow older, our relationships don't get better just by sitting on the wayside. They don't improve that way, amen? But we read in 1 John, beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. Love really is the right thing to put your time and energy into. If you're trying to find a purpose for your life, might I suggest your purpose is to love as Jesus loved. Your purpose is to understand the love of God, to emanate out a loving spirit. Our calling on this earth is to love. To love the people that God puts across your path. To love the Lord who made us. And to also love yourself the way God intends for you to love yourself. God is love. Now, I know I've loved the lessons from CJ recently. And last week he brought up the idea of agape love versus phileo love. And in the Bible, there's multiple definitions of love. And he highlighted last week these two. And I love what he was saying. And we had an incredible midweek talking about practical agape love. Now, agape love is the committed type love. It's a sacrificial type love. It's a love that no matter how you feel, you're all in for someone else. It's cross-centered love. Man. Phileo love is also an important love. It's part of family. It's part of friendship. It's part of warmth. We all need that kind of love. And CJ made the point that when we gather at church, we essentially at the church service, we enjoy a level of the phileo love because we're not having the depth of talks necessarily, but we are encouraging one another and we are really connecting and building up one another's spirit, which we do need. And I loved how he put up this one screen and I told him he should copyright it. It's this one, right? I love it. He said, listen, a lot of other churches put up this one screen that says, circles are better than rows. Circles are greater than rows. But he made the point, he says, the reality is they're equal. Right? There's need for all of them. Sunday services, meaning rows, and now today we're not even sitting in rows. You are in circles today, right? Sitting at tables. But the implication there is that when we sit and listen to a lesson, you're more taking in a message and you're encouraging and having talks. I hope that some of your talks can gain some depth. They're needed, right? Midweeks are the opportunity where we not only meet in rows and have a great lesson, but we break into discussion groups. We have some great dialogue. Some people meet before and after, really, to get into each other's lives and mentor and train one another. And then, of course, we've divided the congregation into small groups that spread out throughout the city so you can do life together. Nobody can do life with 300 people. All right, you're not going to celebrate 300 people's birthdays, although some of you probably try, right? I know a lot of you are buying birthday gifts every week for people. I'm not that good at it. Some of you are really good at it. I got to work on that, right? But you do need to do life with a collection of people, your own physical family, certainly. But the scriptures teach we want to do life with our spiritual family. Jesus said, whoever does the will of God is my mother and brother and sister. That we are to do life together with those who have a common commitment to Jesus and his message. Amen. So I love this calling towards agape love and how we really exercise agape and phileo love. And there's other types of love as well that the scriptures talk about. God is love. Every aspect of his nature is a level and an emanation of what real love is all about. Well, I heard a new definition, a practical definition for love. Now, you know, when I do weddings, it was so great to do a wedding a couple weeks ago for Young and Karina. And I did quote a little bit of 1 Corinthians 13, which says, you know, ultimately culminates in, you know, love never fails. But that's the classic one. But then I heard from a friend who is a minister in Nashville, Tennessee. And he told me that he had a conversation with a famous New Testament scholar named Scott McKnight, and that he had given this definition of love and it really stuck. And so he put it in his book. My friend Josh Graves had written this book on love. And in the book, he uses this definition of love. And I want to present that to us today as maybe the one area of love. Love is broad, it's deep, it's powerful. I don't suppose that in a 20-minute lesson, we're going to comprehend all its nuances. But today I want us to reflect on this definition of love and apply it to our own life. All right, so here it is. Love is a rugged commitment to be with someone, to be for someone, unto Christ-likeness for as long as it takes. Love is a rugged commitment. And I like that part because rugged is what is needed in our generation. Love is not easy, right? the rugged component side of it. A lot of us think love is all nice and Disneyland-like. Like, life is about going to Disneyland. It's fun. Now, anyone that's been to Disneyland knows that that's a rugged day, actually, to get through it, right? But the image of the fun and the joy and how life is just going to be easy. If that's been your mindset, you probably feel like God has failed you in life. Because life is not easy. Instead, life really should be seen as the classroom to learn God's love. And that involves great difficulty and suffering with which all of us will go through. But it's a training ground to understand the heart of God, which is love. So I love this definition, a rugged commitment to be with someone. See, love involves people, right? Love, by definition, involves relationships. So when you reflect on, hey, how are you doing living in love? It is about your relationships. They're crucial. Relationships are the definition of life, the meaning of life. So agape love is a rugged commitment to be with somebody, to be for somebody, no matter what they think, no matter what they say to you, no matter what they believe, to be for them. Unto Christ-likeness, right? Doesn't that fit a little into our mission, disciples, of go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you? This fits in, to be for them, to be with them unto Christ-likeness for how long? As long as it takes. Amen. And here's the thing. It's easy to do that. We think, oh, it's not that hard for the people I already love. But it really is not that easy to follow through. And I want to talk a little bit about it. And I want to share an example of someone that has become easy for me to love. But I'll share a little bit vulnerably. Not as easy as you think. All right? So here he is. That is little Luca Stephen Lounsbury. That's my grandson. That's him on his first birthday. And little Luca, yeah, he's really cute right there. And he's cute when he's laughing. And then he's just sort of looks at everything and notices everything. And, he's just sort of paying attention to everything. And he's having a good time. So this weekend, Carrie was scheduled to go see little Luca. And because, my son and daughter-in-law had meetings they have to be at, I had in my mind a whole plan for Saturday. And I was thinking through what I need to get done. And, I've been busy helping with a plan, our world conference. Next summer, we're doing a big conference. Where the rollout of the promotion will be coming soon to all of you, but we're doing the LA Jubilee, and I'm helping get that thing rolling. And there's a lot of other details going on. And I don't know about you, but I had my Saturday, I had a lot of things I felt like I had to do. And when she said, I'm going to, watch Luca, I was like, oh, I am really busy, right? I'm busy. But then my daughter had been down there and she showed me a little picture of him. And as soon as I saw the picture, I was like, oh, I think I got to go see him, But here was the thing. What occurred to me is that a lot of us, we just don't make space in our life. I mean, it's easy to make space in your life. If you're a grandparent, we all know that, right? A lot of us, we move to wherever they live, right? We get that figured out. But even the thought that, no, I don't think I can, I'm not going to, I'm too busy today. It occurs to me that is a lot of the ways that we treat significant relationships in our life. We're too busy to make space in our life. We're too busy to notice. We're too busy to sacrifice our agenda, the rugged love that's going to be necessary. Now, this was easy, right? He's easy for me to love. But even I had to look at my own selfishness, my own agenda, my own schedule. And it got me thinking, man, I'm a grandfather. I better not only make plans on one Saturday. I need to think about, am I making space in my life for the people I really love? Am I making space in my life for the things that agape love is calling me to do? And he was driving this little car around. It's an electric car that you can remote control. And he just had his arms up there, and he's just cruising. And I started thinking, he's just cruising around, and I'm just marveling at him, taking pictures of him riding in his car. And I started thinking, that's how God looks at us. Yeah. You're cruising around in your life, just your arm up, and he's not doing anything. He doesn't even control the car. We control it. He just sits in there, and he's just loving it. And yet, I cherish him. I'm mesmerized by him. I think he's incredible. I'm like, this is so cool looking at him. He's not doing anything. It's really boring. But that's when God looks at you, he's mesmerized by you.
Amen.
He sees you cruising in your car. He's interested in you, even in mundane things. God's love for you expands beyond a grandfather's love, a mother or father's love. And any of you new moms and dads to be, you know, the feeling of being a parent is just like, this is incredible. I love this kid so much. Or I know for Zahid and Aaron, getting married is such a blessing. I know that they're waking up in the morning, just, you know, the rose-colored, you know, viewpoint of everything in life. They're just in love. It's so good. If anything you have ever loved moved your soul, I want you to consider that God's love for you exceeds that. God's love for you exceeds a husband and wife's love for each other, a parent's, a child's love for their parents. A parent's love for their child. It extends beyond that. He's looking at you. God is love. And he absolutely made a rugged commitment to be for you, with you, unto Christ-likeness for as long as it takes. Amen. You know, 2 weeks ago also I got to enjoy being with some of the campus guys. And this was Hunter Casper's baptism. I got a phone call. It was like a Thursday night. Again, I was busy and I was doing ministry stuff and I don't remember exactly what I was doing, but I got a call like at 8:45 and they're like, Hunter's going to get baptized out at the beach. Well, where? The close one? No, not that close. It's up a little further. I'm like, okay, 8:45 at night. And I figured the baptism started at 9:30. And so I was like, ooh, okay, I got to go. You know, I got to go. I figured this would be a handful of us, but I was like, I love Zach, and Hunter moved out here from New York and just got baptized. He's getting baptized. I was like, I gotta be there. I was blown away. There were tons of the college students out on the beach late at night to see a new soul added to the kingdom of God. And if you get a chance to see the video, he did a somersault after his baptism. He didn't quite complete the somersault, but it was awesome. So I don't know if you posted that yet, campus, but that was really cool. Agape love is going to involve something special. Agape love is going to involve making space. Now, I want you to consider something, and this is what I want us to think about in our rugged love. Our mission is to be disciple makers. Our mission is to be with people that they then can know Jesus. As God did everything for us, had poured himself out. Why did he go to the cross? To show us the ultimate picture of love. Now, I want you to consider. When little Luca was in his mommy's little belly, my daughter-in-law Jasmine's belly, they began to prepare the room at the house for his arrival. There were parties had. We had a huge over-the-top baby shower for her. And little Luca came into the world, and it was amazing that he had his own room. And guess whose life changed? Really, my life has changed only a little, but my son and daughter-in-law's life has changed drastically. Why? They brought a new life into this world, and they are responsible for the agape love to nurture that child. They changed everything in their life, right? They understood ahead of time that's what's going to be involved. They changed their schedule. Their sleep schedule changed. By the way, I thought it was the best thing ever for my son. He's in his mid-20s. I mean, he was already a good-charactered guy, but his toughness, his willingness to sacrifice, his selflessness, his like, man, I don't have any time for myself. I said, yeah, welcome to being a father. It's not easy, but they did it. And it changes them. That's the classroom of love. Now, I want us to take that into the idea of us helping people become disciples of Jesus. Hunter just became a disciple. It's awesome, Hunter. I see you right there. And you see the guys that study the Bible with him right there. And many of us have studied the Bible. How many of us here have ever studied the Bible with a non-Christian, ever in any sense, have ever studied the Bible with a non-Christian to help them? Okay, almost 90, 80, 90% of us have done that. So my question for you is, when you were studying the Bible with those people, were you thinking, I'm about to bring a new soul into this spiritual family, and my life will now need to change? Agape love is a rugged commitment to be with somebody, to be for somebody, unto Christ's likeness for as long as it takes. So these brothers, I commission you to commit to Hunter You helped him become a disciple. I know his physical brother's there, and he's all in, of course. They're going to be blood relatives, but now they're spiritual relatives. You got to be all in. And here's my challenge for us, church. I think we've let off a little. Here's why. And I'm not casting stones. I know even in my own life, I have to look at, you know, some of the people I've studied the Bible with. I'm like, I need to make sure that they know I'm available to them. I want to help them. I want to be available to them. We've got to have that commitment type love. I talked to a brother. He got baptized about a year ago recently. I talked to him. Actually, he was just sharing this, actually. He was sharing it in a small group. And he shared, when I became a disciple and got baptized, it was so awesome. But then afterwards, I didn't have as much time with the guys as I needed. And I understood it. Because oftentimes, we just haven't thought in our mind to make enough. We made space to help them enter in. But do we make space to see it through with each other? You guys with me? We've got challenges to follow through in this kind of agape love. And here's why. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And he talks about this. Jesus had talked about the false teachings that are out there. Watch out for the false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. There's false messaging going out in our society. And the messaging is to get you to not have agape love. The messaging is to teach you about comfort and ease. False prophets, it says they come in sheep's clothing, but there's greed involved. They want something from you, not for you. And sometimes that messaging's coming through the airwaves of our media, and it's just an inundation of false thinking about what life should look like on earth. And we easily get complacent and stuck in our busy schedule, and we simply don't make space for one another. On Wednesday night, also, it was really great. CJ put up, he said, what does agape love look like for the young people? And everybody got to type in on this Slido sheet. And what came up was really interesting because it creates this, you know, big collage of words. And the main word that people put in comes up in the middle. The main word that the young people wanted, guess what it was? Mentorship. They want people, older people in their life. The older people, they guess what they wanted? Friendship. Depth of friendship. Partnership. Right? We all need that. We desire this love. What a man desires is unfailing love. Guys, I want to call on us to make a rugged commitment to each other. All of us need to be in some kind of mentorship environment. As a staff, we're trying to help facilitate it, but it's the small groups that really make that happen. You need it. You need people in your life. I want to challenge the older disciples. Many of you in here, provide some space in your life to mentor. Our young people want it. You simply need to open your life up, start asking. Young people, don't have too much pride. Be willing to ask for the help when you need it. Amen? Let's make a rugged commitment to the love of one another. Let's not be caught by these false. I could get into false doctrines, but what I'm interested in is life. If your doctrine is off, it's going to mess you up. But you might have the right doctrine, but you don't have the right life. You can have the right doctrine, but not live into it because your love is growing cold. Let's not let that happen. Amen? Amen. We don't have to. It says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So as we take communion here, I want us to reflect. We can overcome the false thinking, the familiarity, the comfort of this world. But you're going to need to make a rugged commitment to making space in your life for other people. Space in your life for things. But God made the most space in his life for you. And that's our calling, right? And here again we read, God's love was revealed among us in this. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He made space. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. Here's the thing. The greatest commandment says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But then later, Jesus says, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. The standard of love needs to go beyond you. Yeah, we ought to love ourselves and be grateful. God made us. We need to see how loved we are. But Jesus is saying the standard now goes beyond you. It's not just love your neighbor. It's love as Jesus loved. And we get that definition. We love because he first loved us. God is love. Today, if we can just take one thing away, I want us to live into the agape love that God so calls us to, gives us an example of. But I want us to think about this definition in your own life. Love is a rugged commitment to be with someone, to be for someone, unto Christ-likeness for as long as it takes. You can't do that for everyone, but you have to do it for the people that God has put inside the circle of your life. And you have to leave a little room for that circle to keep expanding. Amen? Amen. All right, so here's what I want us to do. I want us to take 2 minutes. And what I want you to do, just with the person to your right or your left, just two of you talk, okay? Your right or your left, answer this question, and then we're going to pray for communion before we end and have our celebration, all right? Here's the question. How are you doing with your rugged commitment to love? All right, 2 minute discussion with the person to your right or your left, and then we'll pray for communion. Okay, guys, I know this is a conversation that can go a long time, right? Where are we going to make space in our life to be the good love, It is rugged, right? It's going to take a while. It's going to take time. It's going to take suffering. To love well, you will suffer. Mark it down. Let's reflect on what God did for us as we take communion at this time. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time. We know that you define love for us. Lord, thank you for giving your son, your only son, that we could be forgiven, that we could be inspired, that we could change. Thank you for the body of Jesus, sacrificed as an example, as a gift for us. Thank you for the blood of Jesus shed to clear the slate and say, whatever we've done, you give us a fresh start. You provide forgiveness outside of our own deeds just through pure grace. Father, thank you so much. May we respond to it with loving the way you loved us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.